footsteps, his left foot drags behind my right. I keep walking from daybreak till falling night. Days turn into weeks and years turn into lifetimes. Just keep walking like I've been walking for a thousand years. Walk away in emptiness, walk away in sorrow, walk away from yesterday, walk away tomorrow. Walking to escape, or escape from your affliction, you'll be walking in a great circle, in a circle of addiction. And did you ever wonder what you've been carrying since the world was black? See yourself in a looking glass with a tombstone on your back. Walk away in emptiness, walk away in sorrow, walk away from yesterday.
We're back. You're listening to the Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and we are also live on joyradio.ca across the GTA on AM 1250. It's Tim's third last week doing the Drew Marshall Show. So here's the deal, folks. Every Saturday at 2 o'clock, we've been interviewing some Camino gurus. This October, right after my first grandchild is born, I'll be heading out on the Camino de Santiago. For well over 1,000 years, millions of pilgrims have walked the way of St. James, the most popular route being almost 800 kilometers, which begins in France, go over the Pyrenees Mountains, across northern Spain to the Atlantic, sort of. That's kind of like a post part. Anyway, just to make things interesting, I'll also be doing the entire trail in a vow of silence. I've been in training on that. 15 weeks, one day a week, silence. I didn't post anything about it this week, as I do each and every week, because this week when I was about to post, everything kind of fell apart in Nice, France, and I thought that would not be cool to post that, so we will post twice this week. Anyway, along the way, I'll be writing about my experiences interacting with other pilgrims without being able to speak to them, and we will be posting on the Drew Marshall Show Facebook page, which, by the way, if you go there right now, we're live streaming a video. So you can see Sue Kenny, because she's sitting in the studio with me, along with Mari Lee, Tim the Tool, and myself, Mr. Dress-Up. The plan is to finish the Camino on my 50th birthday on November 30th. So that'll be fun. So every Saturday in July, which is the last month of Season 13, I am interviewing a variety of Camino gurus in order to prepare for my upcoming bucket list experience. Mari, do you have any bucket list? I mean, you're like 14 years old, but do you have any bucket list experience?
Thanks. It's the anti-aging cream that I'm using. you know, I think I'd like to run a full marathon. Like, I've ran half marathons, 10K races, that sort of thing, but right. I think I have to run a full.
So what's a full? Like, so have a Big Mac before you go?
No. Okay.
26.2 miles.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, if you're doing miles. Yeah, it's over 42,
know?
Like 44.
Have you done a marathon?
No, because I studied history.
So, like, yeah, like, it's like around
it's
40.
Named after they won a battle, and the guy had to run from
he just keeps going
marathon
going
to Athens, and he died after he told the
so
king
Mari,
that he won.
Did you have a good day today? What happened this morning, Mari?
I had a great day. Like, you're going to talk about me? You know, it's something exciting. But.
Today's Camino guru is Sue Kenny, otherwise known as the Barefoot Pilgrim, I think, and author of My Camino and Confessions of a Pilgrim. Sue is a world-class keynote speaker, an expert pilgrim who has walked the Camino many times. Her first journey in 2001 was from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, I can't do French very well. Okay, so I'll stop. To Santiago, the English route, the Portuguese route, and has walked to Finisterre and Muxia. Is that how you say it? Muxia?
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Or Muxia.
Muxia? Mm-hmm. I want to say it right. I don't want to be an idiot over there. Well, I won't be saying anything, so it doesn't matter. She has led 12 groups and has directed a documentary film about the Camino called, Las what?
Peregrinas.
Isn't that a drink? No. Oh, it's Pellegrino.
Pellegrino.
Yeah. Pellegrino.
As I said. And written these two books, of course. She's renowned for her work as a storyteller, speaker, author, coach, workshop facilitator, who uses the Camino as a metaphor for a life journey. And her best-selling book, My Camino, is developed as a feature film and co-wrote the screenplay, so it's in development. It's in development. There's a word missing there. Her second book, Walking the Portuguese Route, is called Confessions of a Pilgrim, and Sue has been recognized in Spain. Wow, that's nice. Hey, you must be Sue. No? Okay. As someone who has had an effect of the increase of pilgrims from North America who are walking the Camino. Are they not sick of all the people in over there, all the tourists? And do they not go, come on, why are there so many?
Ah, the villagers. You have to imagine that they're from probably generations of people who have lived in the villages along the Camino Way. So right. It's a part of their life. It's a great honor for them to serve pilgrims and to be a part of others' journey.
So they don't get sick of, especially Americans.
No, I think
that was bold.
It's not about where you're from. It's about being on the path, and they also, you know, obviously bring a lot of commerce and business sure. to the Camino path. So
it's business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about garbage? I heard that people are now leaving garbage. They're just leaving garbage on the trail. Is that true?
Well, in 2001, when I walked, there was garbage on the trail. Oh. There was hardly anybody there. I mean, I personally have a bag with me all the time, where I pick up garbage and put it in one of the pockets of my backpack and. Yeah. Take it with me and, you know, rather than complain about it, mm-hmm. do something about it.
Yeah, that's what I did yesterday. I walked the trail around the island lake and I picked up garbage.
That was nice of you.
Wasn't
yeah.
it, though?
Yeah.
And people say I have no soul.
Hmm.
Like you. You've said that to me many times.
No comment.
Can we go right to we got to go right to the time you were on Dragon's Den, okay?
Okay.
Who was the nicest dragon?
Who was the nicest dragon? Mm. Oh, I don't know if there was one that was nicest. Actually, maybe Arlene.
Arlene
stood up for me.
Because it was a chick thing, was it? Or the guys were mean? Were they bullies? And
I don't know. There's part of the taping that they didn't show.
Oh.
And Kevin was really interested in my feature film deal. And that's what he wanted. And Arlene kind of, you know, told him to back off. And, you know, that wasn't what she was here for. We were talking about the shoes. And she really supported me that way. So that was cool.
Wow. So did you get a deal? Because I didn't see it. What happened?
I didn't get a deal.
Did you have to walk off so embarrassed or anything?
I did.
It's sad when that happens.
It's sad.
It is, except that I went with the intention of just getting on the show and sharing the idea of barefooting with millions of people.
So barefooting.
Yeah.
And behind a Malibu boat?
No. No, I don't barefoot ski.
Now, how does someone like you not barefoot ski? That is just, I don't get that.
I don't know. I've never tried it.
Are your feet super tough? They must be.
Well, people think they are. They think I have calluses
yes.
and tough feet. No,
yes.
we get calluses from shoes. Right, from our feet rubbing inside our shoes. So once you start barefooting, you're basically exfoliating your feet all the time, naturally.
Ooh.
So the reverse happens. They become quite adaptable to all different environments, and they're quite beautiful.
I don't believe them. Could you put your foot up on the table?
Not on Facebook.
Mari has a hard time with bare feet. She just grabbed my arm and rolled back.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think people get weirded out with feet, right? I mean, there's that whole Seinfeld episode, and remember that?
And me.
And then Mari's a bit of a psychopath when it comes to feet. Don't you think people get feeted out?
They get really weirded out, yeah, when it comes to feet. And I don't understand why, because it's actually our feet that carry us on our life journey. You will find it when you walk the Camino.
Oh, I know they're important. I'm just saying they're ugly.
Yeah. No.
And sometimes they're not really stinky.
Yeah. Well, they're only stinky when they're in shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not stinky when they're not in shoes all the time.
So listen, you wouldn't know this, but I have a little surprise to tell you.
Oh, you do.
It's not that exciting.
Okay.
Don't get it. I went barefoot for 3 months.
Yay. Where?
Australia.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And?
Because I could.
Yeah. And did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
Like everywhere?
Everywhere. The shopping mall,
like
the movie theaters.
Like public washrooms?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's gross. When you're a guy, it's gross. Because women, you know, you girls know how to hit the bowl.
I know. Yeah. I don't like, honestly, I don't like going in public washrooms.
No.
I mean, I go barefoot a lot, but not all the time. I do wear shoes. And I love heels. I'm a woman, you know? I like to dress up.
And here, I thought you'd be looking at my stilettos being like, girl.
Yeah, all judgy. No. People that wear like big heels like that?
No, because I ask them not to judge me.
Well, that's pretty good. Hold on. You don't ever wear shoes ever?
No, I do sometimes. Oh, yeah.
What about winter?
I do sometimes. Yeah, I drive barefoot in the winter. Doesn't bother me at all. I can walk in snow. I can spend a bit of time in snow. Yeah.
What about like the slush that hits the brake and the gas?
Well, the worst part is the salt.
What kind of car do you drive when you're driving along the slush?
She's the Flintstones car.
The slush hits your brake pedal. How does that happen? You got some serious rust in your car.
Comes in through the door. Oh, yeah. It just builds up and then it goes on your mat.
It does. It can be nasty. Yeah. It can be really nasty. But I think the thing is, everybody worries about all of these things. But once you start barefooting, like I barefoot in the forest a lot.
Sure. I can get that. That's kind of earthy and hug a tree and feel good and hobbity, right?
And then what it does to your body, it realigns your alignment of your body so that your posture is improved. Like, that's it. Everybody's sitting up tall. Everything starts to line up and, you know, your ankles or your knees are sitting on top of your ankles instead of being shifted forward, which they are in heels. And that has such a beautiful, beautiful effect on your whole body.
Are you evangelical about your barefootedness? Do you try to preach?
No.
Come on. You would love it if somebody else, and you've turned people, have you not? You've turned people into barefooters.
Totally. But what I do is I just present them with an idea. I tell them you have 7,000 sensory nerve endings on the bottom of each foot, and they have a job. Their job is to tell the body what the environment is that it's in. Huh. And then every single organ, every part of your body is adapted based on what those nerve endings tell your central nervous system. So basically, if you want to cut off your whole body from doing what it knows how to do by not giving it any of those signals, then you'll have to, we have to resort to medication and to other ways of, you know, getting the body to do what it needs to do. But for me, like, for example, if I step on snow, right away my body knows.
Yeah, it says, duh, it's cold, put boots on.
Okay, no, thin the blood. No, it thins my blood. And
then you pass out.
No, then your feet get warm.
Sorry, I didn't hear you there.
Yeah, Tim's already passed out twice. Okay, so obviously everybody, there's a couple of reasons I think we all freak out about feet. Number one, there's not many good-looking feet out there. You get the ones that are, I'm just going to get judgy here, okay?
Okay.
Where the second toe is longer than the big toe, that's weird, okay? Just want to say it just once
that's
and for
me.
All. When then you got nails, the toenails. And I remember a lady at Camp Big Canoe 1,000 years ago. She was like the cook or something. And she had 8 feet long nails. Like they were like, remember the Indian guy that grew the Guinness Book of World Record nails?
Yeah.
They were
all
curly and
where's that
and
bucket
gnarled.
We were talking about?
Okay, Mar's going to spur. Yeah.
Why is my soup crunchy?
And then there, just turned me. And then there's smell. And then there's roughness, you know.
Okay, so there's no roughness. There's no smell. What about the arch? Well, if you wear shoes all the time that have an arch support, then your muscles atrophy because they don't have to work anymore.
Then
you get flat feet. So what do you prefer, a flat foot or a beautiful foot with an arch?
Well, phrasing it that way, all the flat foot people just feel rejected. What's the worst? Sorry, what were we going to say?
I had a question, but we'll do it later.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so I was just going to talk about like arch and flat feet. So I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Yes.
And there was all this hoopla la about when they start walking.
I think there's only one la.
Hoopla la.
Now remember, she's got 3 names, so she can do as many laws as she wants.
Yeah.
And when they start walking,
there's,
you know, walking shoes. There's this. They shouldn't wear this. They shouldn't wear this. They should be bare feet. You know, like that type of thing. And I just let my kids, you know, they learn to walk. They learn to walk. If they have shoes on and we're outside, they learn. Like, I don't know, what's your take on that?
Well, what I've read.
She doesn't like kids.
No, my kids are older now. They have
being
children.
Barefoot,
but
like
from what I've read and what I know, I would put my kids in bare feet.
Bare feet.
For sure.
You'd
I would
put them in bare feet.
I would put them in bare feet.
Who
that's right.
Bare feet would
who manufactures those?
That's a little silence of the lambs,
yes,
isn't it?
Exactly. little fava beans. What's Chianti?
What's the worstest thing you've ever stood on? And that's a real word. What's this? You've stepped on. You've cut yourself. You've pierced yourself.
I think the worstest thing
is poop?
Was on the Camino, and it was cow dung.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's just chewed up grass.
No, it's not. I don't like it.
Sure it is.
No, I don't like it.
People smoke that stuff.
So what's brown? It sounds like a bell.
So how do you get it off? So that's the beauty of barefoot, especially if you're out in nature. Whatever you step in, you eventually just kind of wipe off because you move into different types of terrain. So then I just went over to grass and started like walking on the grass. And as soon as I found water,
right.
put my feet in water. And before I knew it, my feet were clean again.
So when you stepped on the chewed up grass, you went over to the grass to wipe off the chewed up grass.
I did, yes.
Got it. But have you never hurt yourself, cut yourself? Come on, you nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy Buffett wrote a song about his flip-flop busting out.
Yeah, one thing that I don't do anymore is I don't go barefoot at night. Because one time I was actually in Florida at a conference, and we were walking to the conference, and there was a metal, oh, I don't know what it was, like a stick, a metal stick coming out of the cement
you did
sidewalk.
Not.
And I jammed the ball of my foot into it, and it sliced it open. Yeah, it was bad. So I don't walk at night. That was the worst, yeah, I think. Yeah. No, it's okay.
We're in the studio with Sue Kenny. I believe we're streaming live on Facebook, although we can't get on Facebook to check, so that'll be interesting.
You must have really great medical insurance then.
No, same as everybody else. No, it's actually...
deductibles this high!
No, it's less of a liability, because remember, I have 7,000 sensory nerve endings working for me, and you don't have those.
Well, that's good
when
sales
you're wearing
pitch.
Shoes, you don't have them, so it's easier to trip and fall and... slip and
So you did the Camino because you were all corporate-y and burned out, and you went and then you got laid off or whatever, and you went, okay, I gotta get my head screwed on straight, and you went walking.
Yeah,
you went walkabout.
I was all corporate-y, but I also walked into work one Monday morning and
barefoot
I wasn't barefoot at that time, and they downsized me, so
right.
they basically told me I had to leave, hand in all my ID, my laptop, everything, and they escorted me out of the building.
Wow.
For the last time. So that's when I, you know, everything came to a halt, and I thought, well, what am I going to do now? Do I just go and get another job? Do I go back to school? Yeah. I mean, what do I change careers? What do I do? And I didn't know what to do. So I thought, I'm just like, I'm out of here. I'm just going to check out and go for a long walk.
You did research?
There was a television, there was a program called The Lonely Planet Travel Show.
Oh,
I don't know if it's
yeah.
still on, but they had a special on walking tours in Spain. And I happened to catch it on TV, and that's how I found out about
really?
It. But when I Googled it, there was hardly any information at all. But the one thing I read that I loved was they said there were yellow arrows painted all along the way.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's great. I don't need a guidebook or a map. I'm not spatial, so I never do well with maps.
Okay.
But yellow arrows...
It's like being in a hospital.
I could follow yellow arrows.
Just follow the yellow arrows to the x-rays, please.
Yeah, or the yellow brick road.
I was just in a merge, so I know.
Once remember? Again, about Tim.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, Sue,
no.
Let me just explain Tim to you for a second.
Okay.
Any chance Tim gets to bring it back to him, he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It's okay. We were talking about being barefoot earlier. And
you were?
We were.
Yeah, we were. But I'm not completely barefoot. I'm not a purist.
Yeah.
You see? Right back to him again. Did it have an impact on you, this Camino Trail? And obviously it did, but what was it? Because people talk, I mean, look, that's why this thing has kind of taken off. Because
yeah.
people keep coming back with these, oh, this was the greatest experience of my life. But what's the greatest experience? The fact that you've walked for a month or so, or however long it's taken, whatever trail you take, and all of a sudden you arrive and you achieve and it feels good and you've never walked that long before. Is that it?
No, it's not even really about the achievement, because often when you get to the end, it's somewhat disappointing because you don't want it to end. It's more about this idea of leaving the ordinary world, leaving the world as I knew it, which was really, you know, going at like 120 kilometers an hour. Everything I did fast at home. And when I got on the Camino, it was like somebody put the brakes on, and all of a sudden I'm walking 4 kilometers an hour. Like, it would take an hour before, you know, I got through a small forest, and it was boring.
Mm.
It was like really slow. What that forced me to do was to stop living in that, you know, that world that's so fast, where you're constantly thinking and shifting and adapting and making choices really fast, to having time to think about everything. And then realizing that some of the thoughts that were going on in my mind were the same thoughts that I was repeating over and over and over again. This gave me a chance to actually stop and say, are these the thoughts I want?
That's exactly what's happening to me in my days of silence.
Is it?
I'm recognizing patterns in the undercurrent of thinking.
Yes, exactly. And it's that ability to go somewhere where you can do that. It's hard to do it back here. We can do it in small doses. We can go for a walk for an hour or 2 hours or even a day mm-hmm. or a couple of days. But to do it every day for a month and then at the same time run into people and have conversations with people who are going through the same thing. Only they're from all different parts of the world. They're from all different backgrounds. They're from, you know, they have experiences, life experiences that we share. And I think actually it's the conversation. I think the learning is in the conversation, so it's going to be really interesting.
I know.
With last your week, conversation.
George Grenier.
Oh, George Grenier.
Grenier, yeah. He was on the show George. With...
Dr. something.
Arthur Boers.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
So they were on last weekend, and George said to me, think about this. Don't rip other people off of sharing your story. But I can't. I mean, can I just give them a link to my bio on my webpage?
You can, but I think also one thing I learned on the Camino, I didn't speak any Spanish at all. And in 2001, a poco.
Poquito?
Like, poquito, yeah. Poquito. See, like, I don't even
poquito.
Know.
Poco.
But the thing is, at that time, very few people spoke English. But I could sit in a conversation with one person speaking, this happened. There was a German man, Andreas. He was talking to another Spaniard, and I was a part of the conversation. I was just listening. They were speaking in Spanish. And I started following the story, just the intonation and the music and the feeling of the story. And then Andreas got to the end of the story, and he said something funny. And I laughed. And he looked at me, he said, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "I don't know. Whatever you said was funny." And he said, "How do you know?" I said, "I don't know. I just know, like, the way you were telling the story, I could tell that it was going to be funny." So it's so interesting when you don't have any idea of the words that are being spoken, but there is a music to language, and there is an undertone, and there is another way to speak. And you know, I'm sure, through your eyes, through your emotions, through your expressions, through your energy, through, you know, the way that you're speaking to the world.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes through without language. It doesn't mean that there isn't communication.
So is the Camino, see, it's not a God thing for everybody. It's not a spiritual thing for everybody. Is it for you?
Well, it was interesting because I went on the Camino, like, determined this is not a religious experience for me. I didn't want it to be that. But I had read before I left that pilgrims walked El Camino de Santiago de Compostela because they believed that if they were close to the remains of an apostle, that they would be closer to God. And so by the time they got to Santiago, they were closer to God. But what I learned was that it wasn't about getting to Santiago. It wasn't like the place. It was this feeling that it was the journey, that while I was on the Camino, of course I was getting closer to God. But I thought that they meant it would happen at the end. So for me, it was a revelation, a religious revelation in a way, that I did get closer to God.
Wait, have you done the entire Camino barefoot or just part of it?
No, not the whole, only parts of it.
Parts of it.
Yeah, okay. For about, I've done, I think, 4 Caminos barefoot, but only about 225 kilometers each
only
time.
225 kilometers barefoot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jump change.
Whatevs. Who says that, by the way?
You do.
Certainly not.
But you won't be saying
50.
It on the trail.
No, I won't.
No, you won't.
How do you sign line? No, yeah. Okay.
Whatevs.
Do you think that people, when they see you walking barefoot, go, "Oh, that's the weirdo barefoot chick"? Because you're kind of known. You're known now.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean on the Camino?
All these people that I've talked to over the last month, trying to, you know, book people on the show and email back and forth. As soon as I mentioned the barefoot, all I've got to do is say barefoot Camino, and they go, "Oh, that's you."
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
On the Camino, it's interesting because people keep asking me if I'm doing the Camino for penance.
Oh, because you're walking barefoot, and
yes.
So if you had a whip, you were whipping yourself as well. That would
yes,
help.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But and that surprised me the first time someone said that to me.
Really?
Yes. This man actually he yelled out at me, "What are your sins?"
Whoa!
And I said, "What? My sins? What are you talking about?"
He yelled that at you?
He yelled at me.
I want to try
that. What are your
that.
Sins?
Oh wait, I can't talk.
You can't.
Fawn, did it?
Wow. Who does that?
Yeah, I know.
But what was his point? He was just trying to...
Because I was barefoot. He assumed that I was walking for penance.
But
and
what,
that
is,
I had...
is part of penance you have to scream out what your sins are to somebody who yells, "What are they?"
I don't know what he
That's
was thinking.
Weird.
Yeah. I just made it perfectly clear.
Are there weird people on the Camino?
Of course, it's the world.
We'll fit right in.
It's a microcosm of the world. Yeah, yes, you're going to fit in.
The stuff that I've seen online would suggest to me, although I read somewhere online that there's all different ages, but it would suggest to me that the vast majority of people who walk the Camino are, you know, sort of between 40 and 60. True story?
I don't think so, no. Actually, I've seen a lot of pilgrims who are much older than 60. A lot.
Okay, that's kind of what I was saying. Old.
I've also seen younger pilgrims. Like in the summer months, July and August.
That's when all the kids go when they are escaping their parents and stuff.
Yeah, and they don't have to be in school or whatever. But it's all ages. I've even seen babies and families and, you know, parents with their children, all different ages.
That's penance.
Yeah, seriously. Your best-selling book, My Camino, how is it different from Confessions?
The difference is, well, My Camino is my first Camino. It's my first journey.
Right.
I talk about the Camino as someone who's never been on it and who's experiencing it for the very first time. The second book, I walk the Portuguese way. I also walked in both directions. So I started in Portugal, walked to Santiago, then to Finisterre, Muxia, and then back to Santiago and back to where I started. Because the pilgrims of the past, they didn't walk one way on the Camino and then hop on a plane or train or a boat.
Yeah.
No, they had to walk back home again. So I had this feeling that when I did my first Camino that I hadn't quite completed it because I didn't walk.
George Greenia did the same thing, I think.
Yeah.
He was very big on that because of his sort of medieval thinking of those folks back in the day. Yeah, they didn't, at the end, they didn't hop on a train and go home.
No, they didn't. And even there's a greeting on the Camino. When you're walking to Santiago, people will often say to you, Ultrea, Ultrea, which is Latin for onward. And then when the pilgrims would walk back home again, the other pilgrims who are walking to Santiago and the villagers would greet them with the word Suseya. And Suseya is Latin for upward. So what I read was that Ultrea was onward to Santiago and then upward to God.
Onward and upward.
Yeah, that's it. Which is, it could have also come from the Romans, right? When they were, because a lot of the Camino follows Roman trade routes.
Right.
Original Roman trade routes.
Right.
So it's possible that actually came from them.
What are the top two or three questions everybody asks you about the Camino? They're about to do the Camino, and they come across Sue Kinney, the barefoot pilgrim, and they go, oh, I got to ask her something. What do they always ask you?
You mean about barefooting or just in general?
Just about the Camino in general.
Yeah, about the Camino in general.
Because I think we've covered barefooting substantially, right, Mari?
We're good.
I think one of the questions women will ask me is it safe for women to do it?
Right.
That's a big concern,
and
obviously.
Is it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think it's one of the safest places I've ever been in my life. I feel like it's a peaceful place, right? But at the same time, you have to be careful. Just have to be aware, you know. And then I think people are always concerned about how much they can carry. You know, what do you have in your backpack? And then people are often concerned about how to prepare for the Camino.
Like
how
blisters.
To physically
blisters.
Prepare. Blisters. Oh, blisters are
right?
a big issue. Yeah.
For all those shoed
what
people.
What shoes to wear. But I actually know a lot about shoes because I did the Camino many, many times in shoes.
What shoe do you recommend?
I don't recommend boots anymore. I recommend more like a Teva, like an athletic sandal.
Yeah. Even in October, November?
Yeah, because
my pinkies are going to... My pinkies?
No, you can wear socks.
My pinky toes is
you can wear socks and sandals.
No,
it's
I'm
not
doing,
a great
not
look.
That.
Oh, no,
I'm
you're not.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, come on.
Not happening. Not happening. I've spent too many years making fun of people in socks and sandals.
I
can't
know.
Do it.
Yeah.
So if I'm not going to do that, then what's next?
Next thing I would recommend is like a trail shoe. So not a high boot.
No.
Because what you want to do is you want your feet to be as strong as possible.
Right.
So the least amount of support you have, the stronger your feet will become as
That's
you prepare.
That's so weird because everyone else says you need support.
I know. I used to at one time
as
well.
But you're a barefooter.
But now I know how important it is to keep all the muscles and ligaments and strong in your feet. They're holding up your entire body. They're taking you on your journey. So,
Can we just talk about the footwear that you have, bare bottom shoes?
Sure.
They make the rockin' world go round.
There.
What was that?
It's the guitar solo.
Oh, thank you.
I'll show you. I'll bring it up.
Okay. That'll be our going out song. Okay. How's that? Does that work?
Sure.
Okay. Can you... I know Mari will... Let's turn her around. Hold on.
Okay.
Let's put her in the corner.
Okay,
turn around, Mari.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Yeah, you're going in the corner. Okay, so there's your barefoot shoe.
Yes.
Okay.
These are my barefoot shoes.
And there's the bottom of your feet.
And that's the bottom of my feet.
Yeah, yes. And so they're dirty, right? Because you're walking up pavement
and
stuff.
Well, they're actually... Yeah, in the city, your feet will get dirty.
Sure.
Yeah.
But not in the bush.
Not
you
in
get
the bush.
Dirt,
well,
but
they
not dirty.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to do pedicures a lot, I would imagine, do you?
Yeah. Well, I just do my own because okay. I don't want anybody scraping anything off the bottom of my feet. I like the skin I have.
Yeah, that's so. Right. Well, I thought about that. I can't get a pedicure before I go.
Don't.
I like when they bring out the cheese grater and get rid of the
you do.
Dead skin.
Okay.
How you doing now, Mari? Mari's just going to go to the restroom right now. There she goes.
Change your name to Chuck.
Ah, she's funny.
Okay, so you designed these and made these, and they lace up around your ankle?
Yeah, I did. What happened was when I started barefooting, I would go to the forest, go for a walk, and then get in my car. I used to drive to this trail that I love, and then I would go grocery shopping, mm-hmm. go to the Canadian Tire,
and
whatever.
It's illegal.
And it's, well, they think it's illegal. It's not illegal anywhere in Canada.
It's not worth the hassle, right? It was the same in Australia. I had to say, actually, it's not illegal. It's not illegal.
Yeah, it's not. So, but the thing was that I found it embarrassing. Like, I was humiliated when they asked me to leave. I didn't like the fact that I couldn't do what I wanted.
Right.
And so I decided to design a shoe without a sole that would get me into all the stores, which it does.
It does. So now people don't chuck a wobbly. Because she's got something on. It looks weird, but she's got something on.
That's it. Yeah.
We are in the studio with Sue Kenney. The website is suekenney.ca, K-E-N-N-E-Y, suekenney.ca. Do you think that there is such a thing as doing the Camino with a bad intention, with bad motive, with a just... Why are you on here? Why are you doing this? Because I hear that's a big discussion while you're out on the trail.
Yeah, it's the number one question.
Right, why are you doing this?
Yeah, people don't really care that much about, like, what your job is or where you live or what neighborhood you're in or what kind of a car you drive.
No.
They're more interested in who you are as a person and what drove you. What was it that inspired you to walk the Camino? As far as a bad intention, personally, I don't believe, you know, that there can be a bad one. I don't think intentions are good or bad. Mm-hmm. They just are. And if you have an intention, then go for it. It's possible that what you start out thinking, you know, when you begin the Camino, isn't the same thing that you discover about yourself at the end. So it's really about where you are when you start and what that intention is.
Do you think that you are a vastly different person because of your Camino experiences or just a different person?
Vastly.
Really?
Different. Vastly. Yes, it changed my perspective of the world. It changed it. You know, my kids, when I came home, my kids were afraid that I had changed and that I would never be the person I was. And what I said to them was, no, I haven't changed. I'm more of who I am.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult concept sometimes to understand, that you could be more of the person you are, more authentic than you were before you left. And I think that's what I feel happened to me.
What advice do you have for me?
What advice do I have?
Oh. Knowing me a little bit, knowing the show, knowing what I do, knowing a bit of my background, knowing that I'm not going to wear socks and sandals.
You so are. I know you are.
Not a chance.
I know you are.
Dude.
No, it's going to happen.
Okay.
I'm with you. I think he's going to wear
okay,
socks
Sylvia
and sandals.
Brown.
Yeah. Okay.
Come to the dogs.
I'm following the Facebook page. Yeah. And you can call me anytime if you need any advice.
Okay.
Or
right.
Yeah. But I think basically, you know, you've set yourself up with an incredible challenge to go out there and be yourself without using your voice. And you're a radio announcer. I mean, it's just absurd and I love it. So I think the best advice is to just be yourself, to embrace the journey, to not get caught up in the walking. Everybody thinks the Camino is about walking. Well, yeah, it is about walking, but it's not about walking. Walking is just what gets you to the place that you're going to, you know, within yourself. And I think that your personality is going to come through whether you have actual physical words or not. And people are going to feel your energy. They're going to know something about you, and you're going to teach them something, and I think it'll be a beautiful, beautiful exchange.
Do you think people will see me as wise now that I have a beard?
I don't know, maybe. Yeah.
Look, David Letterman's walking in the trail.
But he's not talking.
Yeah. Maybe it is David, maybe it's not David. Well, okay, that time just absolutely flew by, and I very much want to thank you for being here. The next group you're leading, when do you guys leave? Isn't it September?
Yeah, we have a group going in September, so there's a 6-day walk and a 10-day walk, and all the information's up on my website.
SueKenney.ca, that's K-E-N-N-E-Y, SueKenney.ca. So we won't see you, because I'm not going till October. So we'll see you somehow, some other way, I guess.
Absolutely.
When we come back, I'll have to debrief, I guess.
I'd love to hear about your journey.
Yeah. And thank you for, I don't know, you know, you're the, how do we say this without sounding trite? You are a good representative of a Canadian pilgrim. Because you've got a bit of fire to you, but you've also got this sort of, you know, laid-back Canadiana about you as well. And everywhere I go, people are saying your name with a bit of a smile on their face.
Oh,
you know,
thank
so that's
you.
A great thing.
That's really nice to hear. Thank you. Yeah. And buen camino.
Who?
Buen camino. That's
upward and onward. Oh,
yeah, you're going to say buen camino.
No, I won't.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right.
Say it with your
eyes. I don't got to learn no Spanish, man.
Oh, okay. Here's some advice. Get a t-shirt and put buen camino on it.
There you go.
And that's
just
what,
do this
just
to people?
Camino.
Yeah, because that won't freak people out at all. I'll have my long raincoat and standing by a...
Socks, sandals, and a trench coat.
Socks and sandals, a trench coat,
big
and
beard.
Oh, no.
I keep watching.
The El Creepipo.
El Creepipo. Sue, thank you. It was good to have you. So good to have you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.